Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is part of our Heavenbound family. Jumpstart number 2025, first written January 29th, 2018. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Our verse today reminds us not only of the activity of God, but what lies behind the curtain that the human eye often does not see. The book of Daniel is a great place to verify this point. The Babylonians were used by God to punish Judah. God moved them into that position. After a period of time, God allowed the Persians to overthrow the Babylonians. This opened the door to end the captivity of God's people. From the standpoint of the world history, this was nothing more than wars and one country seizing the opportunity to take over another weakening empire. Babylon and Persia probably didn't see their roles in biblical history as God did. But isn't that just the way the world is? Consider the story of the rich man and Lazarus from Luke 16. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. God doesn't use fanciful ideas that are not true. This wasn't a make-believe story. The events line up to be a factual and true. Are there righteous today carried by the angels when they die? We can't see angels because they are spirits. We can't see the soul leaving the body. There's nothing that would make me conclude that this doesn't happen. Yet another way we know that God is active today is on the personal level and the way God answers our prayers. We pray, doors open for opportunity. The sick gets better. Things happen. God is thanked for the good that he has done. So on both the national and international level, and even on the personal level, God is active and busy. We may not be aware of all that God is doing. We may not appreciate all that God is doing. We may never know on this side of things just how many times God has been there for us. We may never know all the good that God has done for us. It's easy to think that God's work is done and he simply is watching us from heaven. Or some may envision a giant stadium, God on one side in the stands and Satan on the other side in the stands. We're on the field journeying toward the goal. While God may cheer us on, folks in the stands do not change the outcome of the game. Not realizing the activity of God can make one wrongly conclude that God isn't doing much today. Habakkuk wondered about that. God responded by declaring, "You wouldn't believe it if I told you." The psalmist wondered why God didn't hear him. But he did. All this reminds us of a few simple thoughts. First, God doesn't have to explain himself to us. He does things that are righteous, good, according to his will. We may not understand. We may not even see it. We may question why. Don't expect an answer. We're not accountable to God, we are accountable to God and not the other way around. Faith and trust in him will make us realize that he is holy and good. Second, God does things that we do not see. Not everything is visible to us. Our examples above, the changing of kings, the carrying of the soul to paradise, are things that happen all around us, but we don't see those things. God's thumbprint is on those things. There are prayers others have prayed, and God answered them, and we benefit from that. The righteous farmer prays for rain, and God sends that rain. It rains on the farm, and it rains in the city. The folks in the city may complain about the rain, but they never understand that God is answering the prayer of that righteous farmer. We often do not see all that God is doing. Thirdly, God uses people and places in certain positions to fulfill his will. Nebuchadnezzar is a good example of this. God continued to send that king divine dreams. He was using that pagan to accomplish his will. Babylon was the instrument of God. I doubt most in Babylon ever got that. They never saw their past being connected to God. Even King Nebuchadnezzar, who received divine dreams, struggled with all of this. God doesn't work only through righteous people. What world leaders, what people of importance is God working through today? They may never know it, and we may never know it, but God has a plan and a will, and nothing can derail that plan. Fourthly, God is greater than all of us. God was greater than Babylon. As large and fierce and powerful as Babylon was, God used him as a pawn on the chessboard to accomplish his plans. The suffering Christians at the end of the Bible felt the heavy hand of Rome. There was little that they could do. The Christians didn't have armies. They didn't have the manpower, the provisions, nor the knowledge to overcome the crushing empire like Rome. But God did. In time, that nation fell apart. Historically, it was jealous and poor leadership that caused Rome to crumble. Biblically, it was the hand of God. Fifth, God's plan is greater than the individual righteous person. We who walk with God help fulfill his plan, yet we are not the plan itself. So David died, James was murdered, Stephen was crushed with rocks, John was beheaded, Antipas was killed, yet the kingdom of God rode on. It grew, it became mighty, it lived beyond all the apostles. It continues today and is greater than any one of us. Preachers come and preachers go. Preachers begin their careers and preachers end their careers. On my office wall, I have two old prints of preachers, dozens and dozens of preachers in those pictures of preachers in those prints, and few would be even recognized today. Most are not known by this generation. Most have left little evidence of the godly work here. They lived, they preached their hearts out, they established congregations, they held debates, they printed books, they traveled everywhere, they preached and preached and preached. Then their time was finished. Time moved on. Generations later, they are a picture and a collection of preachers on my wall. Yet the kingdom grows. It survived. It survived the great names. It will survive us. Now some in the congregation will die. Some congregations cease to exist. Some merge with other congregations. Yet the overall kingdom of God thrives. It is that large tree that grew from that little mustard seed. Our absence may be felt in the local congregation, but in the overall kingdom, it will survive without us. Our work is for today. It is there our generations are. It is there that we do the work of God, and the kingdom will thrive. Finally, we grasp how active and complete and how thorough God is. That little kingdom that was prophesied back in Daniel 2 crushed all the others, and today it is worldwide and strong. All through history, all through our lives, God has been there. He has helped us, he has forgiven us, he has blessed us, he has protected us, he has used us to be his feet, his hands, and his eyes today. Our God is amazing. It is incredible that we can be a part of this eternal picture and plan of his. It is remarkable that he trusts us enough to put his kingdom into our hands. What an honor it is to teach and preach the gospel of his kingdom. How special it is to be adopted into the family of God. When you're lonely, when you're discouraged, when you think things are not going well, when you get the thoughts of giving up, consider what you have shared today. Consider you a part of something amazing and powerful and eternal and large. So large that the kingdoms of others come and go. So vast it crosses into every nation that's known in every language today. It's not going away. It's not going to fall. History shows us. God is good. He is good to us. Thank you for listening.